Driver, it is so good to finally get to see you today and get to hear you preach the word. And at this time, I'll turn it over to you. Be led by the Spirit, brother.
Hello. Good morning, The Rock Church. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord. We're really glad to be here this morning. I was down yesterday with Geraldine and the family when Pastor Glenn had the angiogram done. I pastor in Moultrie and have been there for 10 years at Christian Life Center in Moultrie. And so Glenn and I have become great friends and just help one another. And, you know, that's what being in the body of Christ is all about, is helping one another. And let me share with you. It's really interesting because them knowing that I'm a pastor, they were reluctant to probably ask me to leave our church and come. And so I know Pastor Glenn well enough to know that I waited till they took him to the back yesterday morning for the angiogram to actually ask Geraldine if there was anything I could do. So I thought if I really, really wanted the brute honesty, you know, I thought if Pastor Glenn was in the back being put to sleep, Geraldine would just, she could have a free-for-all, you know. And so I waited and I said, sis, is there anything that we can do to help you now? And she said, well, and she said it with a joke, almost jokingly. She said, well, do you think you could fill in for Glenn tomorrow? And I could tell based on her response that she was joking. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I can. And after I picked her mouth up off the floor, I said, I had already made some preparations, some small preparations, just that there may be a possibility. And I said, if we can help y'all, we'd love to do that. And so I called one of our staff ministers, and they're taking care of our service this morning. And it's a joy today to be with y'all. And as a pastor, I know how Pastor Glenn feels. I too have had some things physically, and when you miss and you're not there, I feel that worry and that fretting. And not that God's not going to do it, but that's just who you are as a leader. And Pastor Glenn is a great leader and a great pastor, and you love them and you support them, and I bless you and I honor you for that this morning. This morning, I asked Geraldine if there was something that I could share to the congregation from her, and this is what she says. She said to just tell our church that we are filling their prayers and that God is being faithful. Glenn did pretty good through the night, still having pain and nausea, which they said is normal for head trauma. They're watching him all week, every hour in the ICU, and then we'll do another angiogram, what they did yesterday. They're going to do again on Saturday or Sunday before they are confident for him to go home. And they're very thankful for your prayers, and they are certainly seeing them demonstrated right before their eyes. You say, well, Pastor Corey, how do you know that you're seeing the demonstration of God's hand on Pastor Glenn right now? Well, let me give you what the doctor said. The doctor told Pastor Glenn this morning that he has four other patients that have the same thing, and the other four are all on feeding tubes. He said Glenn is the only one of the five right now in the hospital having had the same situation that are actually talking to him. The other four are on feeding tubes. Somebody ought to give God a good praise. Come on now. Let's give God a good praise. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Stand to your feet as the music plays and lift your hands and give God a good praise offering this morning. Oh, God, we bless your name. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. We honor your name, Jesus. We thank you that you are a healer. Lord, we thank you that you're moving now. We're thankful, God, that your hand of protection and that your wings of mercy are upon us. And God, we lift up our family this morning. We lift up our pastor and his wife. We lift up the daughters. God, we lift up this church and through this season. Lord, we pray that you would move in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. We glorify you and we give to you glory and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you. Come on now. Thanksgiving is just a few days away. Somebody slip those hands up and just thank God for it. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. That you are good. Situations are not good, but you are good. Situations are not good, but you are good. Situations are crazy sometimes, but you are good. Hallelujah. And we thank you and we bless you and we give you glory and honor. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we ask you this morning that as we are standing in your presence, we ask that a sweet anointing would fall upon this room right now as we open the bread of life. Lord, I pray that you would speak clearly, that you would speak emphatically and directly to hearts. We are here ultimately on an assignment to share that you have laid upon our heart. And as the people receive it, their life will never be the same. Our prayers are with Pastor Glenn in Tallahassee. And we are so thankful for what you are doing for them and what you continue to do. But right now, we even turn our mind to you. And we pray that we will be able to hear as you speak and as you anoint and as you orchestrate, Lord, the things that are moving from this point forward. We give you a good praise today, God. Thank you for this worship team that has poured their heart out this morning. Thank you for this board. Thank you for the leaders. Thank you for the congregation and the family that has gathered this morning. And Lord, we've not only gathered for just an update on our pastor, but God, we've gathered to hear from you. And I pray that you would speak to us, and we will give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and let the church say, amen. Amen and amen. As you're seated, why don't you give the Lord Jesus a big praise offering today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, and we glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much this morning. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to turn to Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to find our place there, and God is going to speak, and we're going to have a time of altar and altar time. You know, it's interesting, they call this place the altar, right? It's the altar that alters you. Amen. The altar is a place that changes you. Altar is it's appropriately called altar because altar time should alter us. Amen. Altar time should change us. And so thank you again for being here. And as a pastor to a congregation, to a family, you know, we're a part of the same fellowship. And so what a great relationship that we have. And we're here to help you, and we're just here to bless you. I told Brother Mike, we're just here to bless you and encourage you. And I would love to encourage you to remain faithful through this season. Amen. Through this season of holidays, and through this season of uncertainty, and through this season of the pastor walking through some physical things and challenges, I want to encourage you to remain faithful. Text, call, post, whatever you need to do. Stay faithful, stay connected. I encourage this board. Thank you so much. This service has already flowed so smoothly. Thank you so much for your investment, team and leaders. And we bless you today in the name of Jesus. This morning, please turn with us to Exodus chapter 14. And we will be reading a familiar scripture. And you know, sometimes one of the most difficult places in the Bible to read, to expound upon, is that familiar scripture, because everybody in the room knows about it. And if we're not careful, how many know that we're tempted to disconnect because you'll say, I know that story. But I'm here to tell you today that you don't know the whole story, right? Amen. And so if you will, that God will allow you to hear something new and fresh, God will change you. God will speak to you from a very familiar place if you won't shut down, okay? So let's go together. It's a familiar story, Exodus 14, and I'm going to be me today. Is that all right? Amen? I think that's the most effective way for us to serve God. Just be who you are. I didn't come this morning to be Pastor Glenn. I'm just gonna be me, and I believe that God will bless and that God will honor. And Geraldine and he are such great friends of ours, and it is really an honor to be in this house this morning and to feel what we feel. Exodus chapter 14, beginning at verse 19. Here's what we read. If you have the King James Version. Says, and the angel of God, say that with me, the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. Excuse me. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. Everybody say them.
Them.
Them. But it gave light by night to these. Everybody say these.
These.
So that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. And the children of Israel, verse 22, went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Lord, this is an anointed time. Speak to us, we pray, as we humbly submit to you. Let our confidence be in you this morning. Let us rest in the anointing and in the work of the Holy Spirit that is in this place. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There are some interesting things that are going on in this passage of Scripture. We know that there have been 10 plagues that God has sent Pharaoh to prove to him, to convince him, that to demonstrate that God Almighty is God, that He is Jehovah. If you know the Egyptian culture, you know that Pharaoh in himself was considered a deity. He was, many believe that he was the sun god that had been reincarnate, that Pharaoh was a deity. So this whole struggle between Egypt and Israel was something spiritual. And so God was teaching Israel how they must depend upon him. How many know that we walk in various situations to depend upon God? And the call is that we do not turn away from God, but that we turn to God. And, you know, all of us have to do something. I mean, everybody in this room has to do something. We all have to sense that God is calling me, that God is stirring me, that God is moving me to worship. God is moving me to serve. All of us have to understand that God is up to something. How many know that His plans are for you? Amen. And that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. This morning, it's important that we recognize that God was asking Moses, even at the on the brink of the Red Sea, that God was asking Moses to do something. I could take the time to tell you about the 10 plagues and how Egypt drove them out after the 10th and final plague, but let's find ourselves in the text this morning. They are stuck. They are trapped. They are being cornered in on the brink of the Red Sea. I mean, there is something that is happening to them, and God has put them in this place. Come on. You understand that those 10 plagues, they were all for the demonstration of God's power upon the people of Egypt. This was God saying, I am God, and you don't tell me what to do. And yet, none of the powers of heaven that had been poured out upon the earth, none of them had been personally for the children of Israel. All of them had been for Egypt. But God positions them in a place now so that when the Red Sea is parted, hallelujah, not only will Israel know that God is for them, but God has a demonstration of His power for His people. Come on now. I am thankful that at the parting of the Red Sea, that this was God affirming to His people that I've got you, that I am handling this, that I can, that I am able. And just my, you know, you don't use just God's power upon your enemy, but you can use the power of God upon your own situation. And God is showing Israel that at the Red Sea. Hallelujah. So we all have to do something. So what does Moses do? Moses stretches out his hand. I've got to tell you this morning, when we were lifting our hands, there is something that happens between heaven and earth when someone is willing to simply lift up their hand. Moses stretched out his hand, representing authority in the name of God that he served. You see, we are all placed in situations sometimes that we feel like is impossible, and yet there is a God to which nothing is impossible. I am so thankful this morning that if we are willing to do something, if we are willing to hear God say, sometimes you've got to stretch out your hand. Sometimes you've got to be stretched, and sometimes you've got to endure the challenge, and sometimes there's going to be difficulty, and sometimes there's going to be travail, and there's going to be valleys, and there's going to be hardships, and there's going to be heartaches, but aren't you glad to know that God, He will never fail you, and that He will always be with you? Hallelujah to His name. Glory. What you thought was impossible for God is not impossible. And how you respond to the crisis in your life is of utmost importance. You understand that experiencing or exercising faith in an unexpected season reveals great potential and possibly reveals future. I think about Moses being crammed in at the Red Sea, and how they respond is going to be very important, because what they're going to do potentially will unlock their future. How you respond to the crisis, how you respond to the trial, how you respond to the heartache is of utmost importance. You see, the Lord, the Bible says, the Lord caused the wind to blow all night. This reminds me that sometimes God doesn't move instantly. He can, but He does not always. Sometimes He doesn't even do it the way that we want Him to do it. Sometimes He may take another avenue to receive glory and honor. Are y'all with me? This morning, we certainly can relate to this when we think about the situations in our pastor's family. But the Lord caused the wind to blow all night. It shows that God is always moving. The wind symbolizes the Holy Spirit, and he let the Spirit blow the wind all night, making a way for his people. The wind was blowing, and when they were sleeping, God was moving. In the midnight hours, when nothing was happening, there was a wind that was blowing, that was moving back the waters of the Red Sea, piling them up on the left side and on the right side. When they were sleeping, God was moving. When they didn't think anything was happening, God was still up to something. And how many know that God is still up to something right now? And this may be a setback and this may be a hardship, but God is not through. That God is still able to get glory and honor out of this dark situation. Hallelujah. So God is moving. The Holy Spirit is stirring. I am thankful this morning that when the wind blows, it represents the Holy Spirit in our life. The wind in the Bible, all throughout the Bible, represents the power of the Spirit. And I sense the wind blowing this morning. When I read the doctor's report on Pastor, I can sense the wind is blowing. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the wind is blowing. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is at work today. Hallelujah. That chains are broken. That people can be saved. Lives can be healed. That the power of God is working in me. You see, they were being pursued by the enemy. And let me tell you what God did. They were being led by a cloud and by a pillar of fire. And when they got trapped at the Red Sea, the Bible says, if you read our text closely, that what was in front of them moved behind them. The cloud moved behind them. And God moved between his people and their situation. You see, there was nothing in front of them but the Red Sea. And God's presence saw the Egyptians coming. And God moved from the front to the back. He stepped in between his people and their situation. I would that somebody would get a hold of that this morning. That God is still stepping in between our situations. And he does that in many different ways. But God is still stepping in. That God is still moving. That God is still shaking. And chains are still breaking. Hallelujah. 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 You see, when they stopped at the edge of the Red Sea, there was a shift that happened. And we're put in situations sometimes and we sense a shift. There's a shift in our life. And the shift may be such that we don't see God's presence in front of us because God's presence is behind us, protecting us from the words of others. Come on. Protecting us from more devastation or destruction. Protecting us and shielding us and encircling us. Are you glad that the presence of God is encircling those that love him and that fear him? Are you thankful this morning that God is still stepping in between you and your situation? Are you thankful that the enemy has been defeated and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Somebody give God a good praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know that God is still in the business of protecting his people? Amen. Amen. We still know that God is in the business of protecting his people. The shift was that the cloud that was in front of them, in front of God's people, moved to the back so that the clouds was between Israel and the Egyptians. The Bible says that the cloud stayed between them all night and simply kept them safe. What Egypt saw, the Bible says, was darkness. It was an impenetrable darkness that they could not get to God's people. It was something that had shielded them. It was a cloud that had been moved behind them and the enemy could not get through. Aren't you glad, friend, that if you are wrapped up in Jesus and covered by his blood, that the enemy cannot touch, hallelujah, all of the spiritual things that God is doing? See, he may cause hardships to happen, but he won't take my soul, hallelujah. He won't take the joy that I know and the joy that is mine. He won't take the faith that I have in Jesus unless I give it to him, amen. And we can rest assured that God knows everywhere where you are. He knows every place that you've been. But hold on, child of God, to everything that he has given you, because he will be faithful to you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And yes, he will go with you even to the end of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hold on to what you've got. Hold on to who you are. You see, what Egypt saw as darkness, God saw as him confounding the mighty. What Egypt saw as an impenetrable darkness, Israel would understand that it was God that was protecting them. You see, what the enemy means to do, it will not prosper in the name of Jesus, because the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing. I'm here to tell you that if you've heard from God, that there are times that the enemy will present obstacles and difficulties and hardships, but faithful will be the servants and the children of God. And Pastor Glenn and Gerilyn, their faith will be stirred and their walk with God will deepen, but God will be with them, and God is not through. Come on, that God will be glorified and he will be honored and he will receive praise from every situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, when the wind stopped blowing, when the wind stopped blowing, the ground where the sea once was now dry. You see, the wind was blowing all night long. The Bible says that all night the wind was blowing, making a way where there seemed to be no way. And the Lord has already done that in this particular situation with Pastor Glenn. There's already been a moving. There's already been a stirring. There's already been a shift. Come on, in his situation. Are y'all with me today? When the wind stopped blowing, the ground where the sea once was now dry. You understand that what once seemed not crossable is now crossable. What once seemed like a mighty, raging, deep, and wide Red Sea was now a place to cross. What seemed not crossable was now crossable. What I mean to say is, what once looked like failure was now the future. Come on. What once looked like sure defeat is now something that is going to lead them into the promised land. You understand that nobody gets there unless we are willing to walk where nobody has walked before. And as I was reading this passage, the Lord dropped into my spirit that those people, they were walking upon ground that had never, never, never been touched before. They were walking on land that mortal man's feet have never trod. They were walking across land that was covered and surrounded by the depths of the waters in the Red Sea. But if we're going to get to the promised land, children of God, we must be willing to let our feet touch, hallelujah, where somebody has never touched before, and know that God is for you and that God is with you. We must be willing to walk across new ground. Decide quickly that this hardship will not break me. Decide quickly that I am going to stand with God. Decide quickly that I am willing to walk across this Red Sea ground and touch places that have never been touched before. You see, God's people, we must be willing to walk upon new ground. And let me say, this is a new situation, right? This is a difficult situation. Something our pastor has never felt before, never been in this situation before. This is a new season. Come on, this is something new, and we must be willing as a church and as the people of God to walk across new places. We must be willing to walk across new ground. Just because it's a Red Sea, just because it's new ground, just because nobody's ever been here before, doesn't mean that God is not with us. Come on. You see, God is leading them to the Red Sea so that he can take them somewhere else. What they thought would be failure is going to unlock their future. Somebody catch that this morning. What God means to do is show them what their future looks like. But they must be willing to step. They must be willing to step upon new ground. They must be willing to step where no man has ever stepped. I mean, listen, for the first time in the history of man, there was somebody walking across the pathway of the Red Sea. They were touching ground, that fish and all of the things in the sea called home. They were now touching that ground where those beds were. Come on. They were now touching ground that no one had ever touched before. I want to tell you, friend, that that's a recipe for God to do something great in your life, great in your church, great in your ministry. The place where they were walking had never been walked on before, and it would take the power of the Holy Spirit to bring them to the place to inherit the promised land. You understand? Can you tap a little bit deeper today? Can you tap? Listen, I know that you worship, but can you break new ground in worship? Come on. Can you walk somewhere where you have never been before? Can you tap new ground in your prayer life and in your devotional experience? Can you break up some ground that's never been touched before and dig in a little more? Decide quickly that this is not going to break me, that God is for me. God is with me. God is with me. Hallelujah. 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 You see, when we're willing to walk upon new ground, the promised land is in our future. The promised land comes when we are willing to walk where no one else is willing to walk. We are able to experience. And listen, the promised land may not be a place filled with a whole lot of money. It may not be a place filled with all kinds of just good and superior and excellent health. But the promised land that I'm talking about is the place that is spiritual. Come on, it's a place of knowing that I am doing what I am supposed to do according to the will of God. That I am His and He is mine, and there is nothing that is going to move me. I will not be shaken. That I will walk into this place of promise. And the promised land comes, friends, when we are willing to walk upon new ground. When we are willing to simply rise up and break new ground in the name of Jesus. If we are willing to stretch forth our hand upon the authority and the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. How many know that there are things that shift when the people of God pray, and when we're willing to do it? Now, before we close this morning, all of us have to do something. For Moses, it was simply stretching out his hand. For Moses, it was simply stretching out the hand as commanded by God so that the Red Sea would part as the wind began to blow. We understand that if we are going to walk in new territory, all of us will have to be stretched. See, all of us like the thought of having power. All of us like the thought of having this divine power living within us. But very few will choose the denial of self in order to receive it. Come on. We all like the thought of having power. But very few will choose self-denial and taking up the cross, denying self to obtain the power. Are y'all with me? All of us like the thought of knowing that the Word of God will last forever, but there's not many today that's willing to sit at the table and read it or at the desk to read it. See, we all have to be willing to make an investment. And you say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about breaking up new ground in your life and walking upon a new place. Amen. And not just thinking the thought of, yeah, I've got power, but being willing to say no to the devil and yes to receiving the power. Come on. And saying no to the enemy that tries to keep you from reading the word and saying, in the name of Jesus, I'm just not going to hold the word of God in my heart. I'm going to open up its pages and let the word of God change me. Amen. Hallelujah. See, I can talk to the church because I was raised in the church. I'm a product of being in the church. 38 years old, having pastored for 10 years now. I was raised up at First Assembly of God in Camilla. So I know how church people are. So I can talk to the church, because we all like those thoughts and of having power, and we like the thoughts that God was always with us, and yet we have to be willing to make the investment so that those promises come to life within us. If we're going to walk in new territory, we will have to be willing to be stretched. Moses, simply for this day, he stretched out his hand. The Bible says, upon him doing that, the Lord caused the sea, verse 21, to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The book of Psalms tells us, you say, well, what did that look like? The book of Psalms tells us that it was much like waters that had been congealed on both sides. The best illustration would be Jell-O on each side. The people of God, they're walking, and there's on both sides a big bowl of goo doing this number like Jell-O does. You ever notice Jell-O will wave at you? You didn't even say hey, and it's sitting there. And God moved. Come on, somebody. God moved. Because the wind was blowing. Wouldn't it be incredible this morning if there was such a wind that left Valdosta, the Rock Church, and just begin to blow down toward Tallahassee, come on, and Pastor Glenn and those in that hospital began to sense a change, sense a shift, and what they thought was going to destroy them, what they thought was going to even cause them great harm, that God was going to step in between and do something mighty. Think of this. If you trace the wind through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, you will find that God often used the wind in incredible demonstrations of who he is. Amos 4 and 13 says that he, God, creates the wind. Amos 4, 13. How many know the story of Noah's Ark? I mean, we know the story, right? I mean, after all, it rained for 80 days, right? Okay, yeah, I was just checking. Okay. So it rained for 40 days. Some of you, I got some of y'all. Yeah. All right, so it rained 40 days and 40 nights. But how many know in Genesis 8 and 1, how many of you knew the story that Genesis 8 and 1 says that the waters did not subside until there was a wind that blew? Genesis 8 and 1 teaches us that the waters did not recede until there was a wind to blow. How many remember 1 Kings 18 and 45? You know the story probably. Elijah the prophet says to the king, it's not going to rain for what? 3.5 years? And there's going to be a drought, and I'll let you know when it's going to rain again. How would you like to have been Elijah? Boy, there was a lot riding on him. Of course, it was Elijah the Tishbite. If you were a Tishbite, you were a bad dude. I mean, I don't even know what a Tishbite is, but it just sounds fierce. So we're introduced in chapter 17 to Elijah, and we're told it's Elijah the Tishbite. I don't even know what that is. So in chapter 18, in 17, he says it's not going to rain. In 18, 1 Kings 18, the Bible teaches us that Elijah said, well, it is going to rain again. The time has come. How many remember that he sends his servant over to the cliff's edge to see if there are clouds forming? Do you remember that story? 1 Kings 18, 45. Servant comes back like good church people. I don't see nothing. Pastor, are you kidding me? Like a great leader who had heard from God, he said, won't you go and check one more time? Goes the second time and comes back. Man, I told you, you crazy. There's nothing there. Remember what he said. He said, go seven times. Go seven times. And on the seventh time, The servant saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. And the Bible says that that cloud began to be dark and black, full of rain. And guess what? The wind began to blow. The wind began to blow. You know, when nobody else heard it, you know what Elijah said? I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. See, everybody may not hear the wind. Everybody may not howl. May not be such that everybody can feel it or sense it. But just because others can't see what you see in the spirit doesn't mean that it does not exist. Somebody get a hold of that today. Glory. Just because others don't see what you see doesn't mean that it's not there. I mean, Elijah said it's going to rain. And by the way, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And even his servant that he sent come back and said, I don't see nothing. I don't see any rain clouds. I don't see God doing anything, preacher. But aren't you glad to know that whatever God has promised, He is faithful to perform it. And you can trust in Him when the world is shifting out from in front of you. That I will trust in the name of the Lord, for He will never fail. Somebody give Him glory and praise in this house. Hallelujah. 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 Acts chapter 2 and 2. Here's a good Pentecostal story. Acts 2 and 2. And they were all gathered there on the day of Pentecost. They were in the upper room. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And they were all filled and began to speak in an unknown tongue as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, yeah, there's one thing I left out. Before that happened, guess what? There was a rushing, mighty wind. For God works when the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing and you can't see and others can't see. But you just got a feeling. Does anybody got a feeling this morning that everything's going to be all right? I said, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right because the wind of God is blowing. Hallelujah. This morning, I'll leave you with a few things today. Just because others can't see what you see doesn't mean that it's not so. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you willing to break up some ground in your life? I mean, come on, church. I know that I'm talking to the church. I know that many of you are saved and you're a part of this congregation. If you're not a part of this congregation, if you're not saved, I'd love to give you an invitation. Give your heart and life to Jesus. I'd love to give you an invitation to come into this family and be a part of what they're doing for the advancement of the gospel. Because we need you. We need you. We need each other. We need each other. We need your gifts and your talents and your skills and your compassion. In your knowledge of the word, we need one another. Holy Spirit, have your way. We need one another. We need one another. Listen, Israel is poised to walk across the Red Sea. They're poised to step across there, and everybody that is willing to go, everybody that's willing to go will make it across this hardship. They'll make it across this Red Sea. They will get to a new place. They will experience the wonders of God feeding them the manna, feeding them the quail, feeding them the things that He has in store for His people. But you have to be willing to go. You have to be willing to walk. You have to be willing to step where nobody else has stood or stepped before. Sometimes we are called moms, we're called dads to walk in places where we have never walked before, because God is forming Him in you. Take a moment and talk about my family, Carisha, Cody, Caden, and Keelan, 12, 10, and 18 months. Those two boys made me old, and she's going to keep me young, I hope. A year and a half ago, she came 3 months early, weighing 1 pound, 14 ounces. 1 pound, 14 ounces. We stayed for months at the NICU unit in Albany. Some of you know where that is. Right there at Phoebe. Uncertain of situations, walking in places where we have never walked before. There have been times in our own church where I've heard from God. I've heard from God, but I've seen adversaries. Come on. How many know that just because God tells you to do something doesn't mean that He removes all the adversaries? See, in the church, we want God's will without enemies. And that's not so. You know what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16 and 9? He said, there's a great door that has been opened to us, and it's an effective door. It's a great door, an effectual door, the King James. And yet there be many adversaries there. I'm here to tell you that the children of Israel, they too were in a hardship. They had just fled Egypt, forced out of the country, and crammed in, being surrounded. Desert on one side, Red Sea in front of them, swampland on the other, and the mightiest army in all the land pursuing them from behind. They had no place to go. You understand that sometimes we are put in those situations, and Israel now has to trust and depend upon God. And you know what? No, those people doubted Moses even stretching out his hand. They probably doubted. I mean, look, the Red Sea is an adversary. The Red Sea is an obstacle. The Red Sea presents a challenge. And so many of you in this room have probably walked in some challenging places. And I am simply here just to say that God has never left you, that God is with you. And just as He opened up the Red Sea, He too will open up a new place for you. He too will open up a new season for you. He too will open up something special and new ground for you if you're willing to go. If you're willing to go, if you're willing to step, if you're willing to be a trailblazer, if you're willing to do something. Well, Moses did something. He was stuck at the Red Sea and he just stretched out his hand. That's all he did was stretch out his hand. He just stretched out his hand. Just stretch out your hand. Just be willing to do something. Just be willing to break up something fresh and something new in your life. Stop serving God off of things that happened a year ago or 2 years ago. Serve Him fresh and new, and be vibrant and be effective in your call and be effective in your devotion, and serve God with diligence and serve God with a deep sincerity, and do something special for Him in your life. Would you stand, please, all over the sanctuary? Here this morning, and I know that you are. We have prayed for you and we have prayed for this service, and I know that God is going to do something in this room if you're willing. If you're willing. Say, Pastor, I am in a place. I do feel like I have been ensnared. I do feel like I'm boxed in and I'm facing the Red Sea. I'm facing an obstacle. I'm facing a situation. And I'm just going to believe God. And by coming, all you're saying is that I connect with what the Word of God is teaching us today. I connect with me doing something and me being willing to walk across new ground, ground that has never been touched, that is reserved for you. If if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to step out from where you are all over the sanctuary, and I want you to come. One, two, three, come, come. Do not wait, do not wait, do not wait, do not wait. I need God. I need God in my life. I need God in my life. I need God. I'm facing a hardship, a heartache. I need the Lord. I need the Lord to minister to me. And I'm walking in a new place, Pastor. I'm walking in a new season. I'm walking in something I've never walked in before. And I just need faith to walk through. I need faith to walk through. Will you strengthen me, oh God? Will you strengthen me, oh God? Will you strengthen me, oh God? Can the team please come and sing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, some prayer warriors. Can our board come? Some prayer warriors within the church, will you come and stand behind these that are here? Hallelujah. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God for some great things this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every praise is to our God. Amen. Child of God, serving Him doesn't mean that you won't have disappointments, hardships, but faithful is He to be with you. 1 Kings 18 and 45 is our text. In verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, get up and get ready, because there's a sound of the abundance of rain. I hear it. This morning, you can't always hear it, can't always see it. Sometimes you just feel it. Amen? There's a shift in our heart. And I'm thankful this morning that we can trust God when we stretch forth our hand. Waters part. Sometimes they do it the way we thought they would. Other times they don't. But everything is to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And I want to encourage you today, break new ground in your life. Be faithful, and honor and serve the Lord. Be faithful to pray for your pastor and Sister Geraldine and lift their family up, as I know that you do and have done for a number of years. We bless you today. It's been a joy to be with y'all, and I trust that everybody that wanted to be blessed, that opened their heart to be blessed, was blessed. Amen? Because not a one of you needs to go to the bank and try to make a withdrawal out of an account that you ain't put nothing in. And yet, that's what we want to do at church, right? I mean, you ain't put nothing in, but you want to get everything out. It don't happen like that. You have to put something in to make the withdrawal. And if you've done that today, you've been blessed. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Brother Mike, let me turn it back over to you. God bless you today.
Amen. That's been good. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. I thank the Lord for this service. I thank each one of y'all for being here. And as the week progresses, we'll have updates. And if any changes are made in Pastor, we'll be sure and let y'all know via text or some posts on Facebook. I thank each one of y'all for being here. The bad thing about having a pastor like we've got, if there is a bad thing, is his family taking so much part with the singing and all that. And so when one of them's out, it seems like but I'm telling you, the board has stepped up. The singers, the praise team, and Sister Ginger, and each one of y'all stepped up and just flowed with what we've had. I'm telling you, the Lord has really moved today. I believe lives have been changed. I believe in a hospital room in Tallahassee, the need has been met, and I thank the Lord for that. Thank each one of y'all for being here. Father, as we go our separate ways, we ask that you go with us and keep us, God. Help us not to just say it's been good to be here today, Lord, but help us to go and take away some meat to gnaw on. A meal, Lord, that we can feast on throughout the week. And as we go into your word, Lord, and learn more about you, help us to not just learn it, but put it to use in our life and do good with what we've learned. We thank you for it. We ask, God, that you continue to bless us, watch over us, protect us till we meet again. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.